Just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
All right, everybody.
The chores.
The stores.
Fresh air.
Times Square.
You are my wife.
This episode, Free Farm Friday, will be available to all who wish to download, to all who wish to watch or listen here at CrusadeChannel.com and on the Crusade Max at CrusadeMax.com. And very soon, probably later on today, all of your Crusade Max previews and all of the previews of the Mike Church Show and all of the long forms of the New Christendom Daily, which are already on Apple's iTunes and the podcast service, are now going to be organized under the official Mike Church channel and official Crusade Max channel. So there's one more little thing that has to be approved here, but it's all going to be there. Easier than ever. If you want to listen, you got no excuse. And you should be able to find us on iTunes. All right, first story up here out the gate is, let me see here, is the one, here it is. This is from organiceye.org. Organic legitimacy betrayed by an unholy agribusiness USDA alliance. Now, that's a lot in a sentence here, but it doesn't take much to unpack. Here you go. Hardworking dairy farmers circling the drain. If you're a stockholder in Tyson, Purdue, Campbell's, General Mills, Smucker's, or Danone, chances are you have profited handsomely as these firms have gobbled up brands and market share to control much of the organic food industry. But if you are getting your hands dirty and cracking a sweat to produce organic food that meets the definition that consumers hold dear, not the working definition endorsed by the corporate lobbyist and USDA, things might not look so good. Based on data from the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, that's the NASS, or that's the NASS, in 2019, just 9 giant dairies in Texas, note that I would do not call them farms, says the author, Mark Castell, 9 dairies in, nine giant dairies in Texas together produced 1.5 times more organic milk than the 530 dairy farms in Wisconsin. Some milking as many as 600 cows, clearly not small. 9 Texas dairies producing 1.5 times more milk than 530 Wisconsin dairy farms? What's wrong with this picture? Because people like your pictures. These are CAFOs. Those concentrated animal feeding operations, milking thousands of cows in desert-like conditions, do not meet the spirit or the letter of the law. If you have any questions about that, don't ask the USDA. Ask me. I've been there. I have the evidence. Well, since it's a case in Texas, let's ask Texas farmer Brian Koch if he has any or seen any evidence. How in the hell do 1 to 9 dairies, supposed organic dairies, equal the output of 530 Wisconsin dairy farms? Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. To answer the question, you pack as many animals as you can in there and go from there. Remember our explosion in the panhandle a couple months ago?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were asking a question. Well, what's in a milk dairy? A milk of a dairy farm that can make it explode.
And kill 20,000 animals. I mean, let's see, depending on your breed, you know, five gallons a day of milk times that many animals times, you know, that's how you get those numbers. So you're just packing them into the most unnatural situations you can, and for them to be able to call it organic is, well, a joke. And so, but that's how you do it. You just, you know, if you've ever been out through the Texas Panhandle, that's the scene. It's, you know, these large dairies and then large beef feedlots as well. So
I can only tell you the story that I had taken a trip out to L.A. I was tooling along in my Chevrolet. Then when I was coming back, I decided not to take the interstate back, and I took what state road is it that goes through Amarillo? Is that 40, Texas 40?
That's Interstate 40.
Interstate 40, okay. I was taking Interstate 40, and, you know, you come out of New Mexico, and, you know, you go through this winding, beautiful mountain range, and then when you start to descend down into Texas, you know, you cross, you can see, as far as the eye could see in front of you, you're like Indiana Jones in the first Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, you're at 3,000 feet elevation. You're staring down at what looks to be like almost at sea level, but it's kind of flat. And out in front of you, it's just a sea of black, brown, and white. And you look at it and go like, why does the ground move so?
Yeah.
And it's like, and when you realize when the smell hits you that those are cows.
Yeah, and you can smell Amarillo's from all sides coming in.
Oh, God, it was disgusting. It was vile.
Lubbock is about on par with that as well. So, and, you know, the reason they do it out there is it supposedly knocks the smell down, but when you're putting that many animals in that little bit of space, what's going to happen? You know, it's just kind of that. But, yeah, but again, like I said, that's how it's done. And so, like I said, the Panhandle, then there's an area in New Mexico around Las Cruces that's kind of the same way. It's all along the Rio Grande, and it's up Interstate 25, you know, out of El Paso to Las Cruces. That whole corridor is nothing but dairies. And so,
well, what can you tell us? Do you know anything about these particular nine dairies Mark Castello is talking about? And how do they get an organic certification? This doesn't sound organic to me.
No, well, they do the paperwork, and it's not really it's the government doing or not doing their job, you know, not going back and checking, because there's probably so many of them out there, they don't have the manpower to go and inspect and everything. And I'm not familiar with these particular, I missed the names of them, if there were names, so I'm not familiar with them, but I know there's, you know, the dairies, and then you have the creameries, you know, too, that go in and process everything and put it through. And so, you know, you have that. And I think one of the biggest ones, well, you have Southwest Dairy, and then you have the American Dairy Farmers Association. Those are two big ones.
Here you go, Brian. Let me bring Mr. Mundy in here first before I get into the details. Mr. Mundy, good morning, old farmer, old Star Trek pal. How are you?
I got some family issues going on, Mike, but other than that, semi-healthy and happy, even though we got smoked out up here.
Oh, yes, that's right. You're in the you're in the climate change belt.
Well, you got to remember, blame Canada.
Hey, you're the only person in the audience that will remember this. You remember the movie Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea?
Oh, yes, Walter Pigeon.
Okay, so what? The Van Allen belt was crashing to Earth. And yep. Earth looked like New York City yesterday in the movie. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was red sun all day. Of course, that didn't bring us any rain.
That's right.
But, but no, I was not there, but I did have seen people at work who happened to be at headquarters, which is pretty much across the Hudson River on the Jersey side. And they said, you couldn't see the city.
Well, I saw a video.
Quite that bad out here,
dude. I saw a video cam, video cam shot from George Washington Bridge, looking back at the city. And daughter number one lives, I don't know, 8-10 blocks from where the GW Bridge kind of offloads into Manhattan Island, and you couldn't see. I mean, there were you could see lights, but you couldn't really see. Couldn't make out any of the buildings. It's that bad.
Yeah, well, there's actually a reason to wear a mask.
No, that's right. That's right.
with particulates that might actually get captured by the mask.
That's right. And you don't want any, if it's ash from burning trees, that's fine. You don't want any volcanic ash getting in your lungs, because you're going to get lung cancer in a couple of years, because that's glass.
Yeah,
that's glass. That's not ash. That's glass. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so here, let me get to let me ask you, do you know what a CAFO is, a concentrated animal feeding operation? You got any in New Jersey?
Probably not much anymore. I'm sure there is, and I do not know that there's a specific definition saying, you know, well, if you achieve a certain amount of animal density per given area, then you're considered a COFA. But I'm trying to remember back if I've ever read anything. I said, well, you know, if you put, 10 animals per acre. Now, some of that was gone over back when they were developing manure management standards in the state. They didn't really use the information, but they were talking about it. But pretty much, I mean, just generically, I mean, basically, you may claim, but you're not feeding the animals anything natural off the area you're giving them. You are supplementing them on pretty much 100% with what they need to sustain themselves and gain weight, and it's all a calculated. You remember, the animals today, they wear ID tags. The cows get milk, they get up, they get red. It says, here's Elsie, she gets X amount of pounds of grain. We
want to
take this thing because her poop's a little green last time. Here's her vitamins. You know, they do all this now. This is not, we tell them what they need. We do not allow them to. So the answer to your question, Mike, no, I don't know the detail on
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, you send me the story or somebody. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, here, from the story, from the organiceye.org, flash forward to 2021 and the most recent NASS data, or NASS, there are now 13 dairies in Texas certified as organic, Brian Koch. They are currently producing 2.8 times more milk than the 407 remaining family farms in Wisconsin. Almost three times more milk than those 407 family farms. Just 13 livestock factories blessed by the USDA and a select few of their accredited agribusiness-friendly certifiers. During that two-year interval, 123 family farms went out of business in Wisconsin, along with hundreds more in states like New York, Vermont, Pennsylvania, New York, and elsewhere. New Jersey and elsewhere. These folks have lost their livelihoods, sometimes their homes and farms, and suicides in the dairy community have occurred all too often. Furthermore, consumers are losing access to authentic organic milk that meets their expectations for more environmentally sound agricultural practices and a more humane animal husbandry model. And they're being betrayed because they think the extra cost for organic milk provides economic justice for farmers. Just as importantly, over the last few years, literally thousands of conventional family-scale dairy farms have gone out of business around the country. Why? During that period of time, there was no market for farm milk. No dairy processor marketer was taking on new shippers. The CAFOs have flooded the pipeline, usurping the market and driving down pricing, at least for the farmers, not commonly for consumers. Family farm, CAFO, The USDA says they're both organic. So what's the difference? So again, we find ourselves on a Free Farm Friday discussing another agriculture and natural tragedy here. And that is 123 family farms in the last 2 years have gone out of business in Wisconsin. Hundreds and hundreds more across the entire United States. This while we are supposedly coming to some knowledge, Brian, of the need for regenerative farming, the need for the cows to be on the land, and one would think the need for locally generated regenerative cow milk to somehow find its way at least into local and regional markets. But it doesn't sound like it's happening, brother.
As long as you have this model, it's going to stay like that. I mean, this is what they want for, you know, this is what they want. And they want to, I mean, I was reading something yesterday and they were talking about the Walmart model on steroids. Well, this is it. And, you know, what did Walmart do when they started opening up everywhere? They shut down the mom and pops.
Yep.
And now you don't have that. And this is the same thing just in dairy. You know, you see it in eggs, you see it in pork, you see it in, you know, everything. Anywhere there's a commodity and a dollar to be made, not to the farmer, but to everybody else in the chain, then that's what they want. And, you know, farmers get stuck with these. They're at the mercy of, you know, whatever the market demands. And a lot of times, you know, that's why you've seen corn at $3 a bushel for years, even though prices have been going up on inputs for at the same time, because it's all there for someone else in the middle to take the profit, where, you know, the farmer gets his check, you know, he might get a subsidy check and stuff too, but he's not really profiting from what he's producing, and that's what they want.
So I'm wondering, is there no vital farms? Like, we have vital farms for eggs, and when you buy a dozen eggs from Vital Farms, you know, they're very crafty and funny and humorous with their marketing, but you can actually scan the QR code on the side of any dozen of Vital Farms eggs, and it will tell you the name of the farm that those eggs came from. And then almost all of them have some sort of a website. You could go there and you could see where they are on a map. You can actually see, you know, pictures of the chickens, because people like them chickens run around in the field. It's kind of a cool little concept, Vital Farms. We buy Vital Farms eggs all the time. But there doesn't seem to be a Vital Farms milk. There's no model for this, it doesn't seem.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay, you blanked out for a second. Sorry. I missed, you were talking about Vital Farms eggs.
Farms market for there's a Vital Farms for eggs. There's no Vital Farms or anything like it for milk, was my point.
I would not say that. I think there's some regenerative folks have pulled together some dairies, I think in New York and maybe in Washington State. There are some. I know there's some out there, and I forget the name, but there are some that they kind of co-op with the smaller dairies so they can bring it to market.
Okay.
Maple Hill? No. I'd have to look it up and send it to you, Mike. I'm sorry. But I know there's a couple out there. So.
Well, maybe there's some in the Jersey area, Mittermundi. Some kind of Vital Farms alternative for milk. Is there any kind of a local co-op there for milk?
No, because New Jersey is so, well, there are still a few guys that are trying to sell local milk, but it's so restricted, they're not offering anything that different than what you're going to be able to get in the store, unfortunately.
And that's the other thing.
They may feed their animals better and stuff. I'm not saying it isn't somewhat better. I'm just saying that it's not what you're looking for or what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, you're allowed to sit a 10-year-old down and with his parents, tell him you're going to chemically mutilate him, and in a couple of years, you're going to surgically mutilate him. That's all fine and dandy. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that that's completely illegal and that there is no one regulating it or even monitoring it. But you start talking about squeezing some milk out of a cow's teat, and all of a sudden, you need an army of bureaucrats to monitor the situation, to test it, and to certify it, and to stamp it, and to tax it, and all sorts of things. It seems to me they're trying to get rid of the little guy.
I knew it related back to about 15 years ago, which is, Mike, we're getting old. I can't remember things anymore. It goes in, but it doesn't always come out anymore. The CAFO, because it where I got involved in here was with this whole manure management plan. Brian, I should know about this. It all had to do about. Superficially to do with water quality and runoff and, how many animals and stuff. And the CAFO started that restricted about how much waste could be distributed and how many animals per acre. And I know, looking up here, and that's how we did it. It was animal units, 1,000 pounds confined for 45 days a year in a given area. And that was a big thing I was screaming about and how I became infamous in the state because, where are you coming up with this stuff? And, what's the unit area and how do you get it? And so 1,000 animals equates to 700 dairy cows, 2,500 pigs, 10,000 pigs under 55 pounds, blah, 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 blah. So they got a whole thing there of how many animals, what their live weight is, and what their density should be over a 45. So that's where the CAFO standards all come from. They don't make any sense. I can tell you they don't make any sense as far as trying to meet them, and I ignore them and... technically, I'm supposed to be registered in the state. So for all the people that are listening, I'm illegal, but that's okay.
Well, it's 14 years ago. You remember the first year of the Obama regime, that woman who was selling raw milk out of her dairy in Wisconsin. Remember the ATF agents? Basically, they thought they had a David Koresh situation on their hands and treated it like it. Surrounded the woman's farm. I'm trying to remember her name or the exact location where she was. And they sent agents in there with guns and badges saying, "Badges, we don't need no stinking badges," saying, "You are in violation of this USDA code and this U.S. code and this and that and the other here. And you have refused to allow our inspectors into your dairy." As a gag, do you remember this? The woman took the cows out of the milking pens and then tied them up to her cars or something like that and said, "Well, there's their pens right there. Go inspect them." But they went there to shut them down.
There's a number of them. When we were doing some various things with the investment club and all, there's a big, big case going on a few years with this guy out in Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania, an Amish guy. He had 4,000 people on his PMO. They confiscated his meat. There's quite a few of them in California because that's probably the freest state in the union right now, where they go in and shut these farms down. So the hippies went out there, and it comes full circle, does it not?
Well, yes, I think it's absolutely ridiculous for even the state of Louisiana has a law against the consumption or they have a law against the sale of raw milk. If I want to drink raw milk, that's my freaking business.
Well, I've been getting a lot of chatter about it. Brian may see it too from, I think good organizations, but of course they're trying to play the game because, 5 years is up. The farm bill is coming up and they're trying to get meat processing regulations favorable to farmers for on-farm slaughter. And, the number of states are doing it as well, some for, some against. And states you wouldn't think of, like Maine, northern Massachusetts. But you'd think that you'd have a few of these states, Vermont, where they're coming down on, you're really not allowed to slaughter that on the farm, even for your own consumption. So... I was going to send stuff out to some people. I said, I didn't. Again, I'm not here to play the game because I don't think it's going to make a difference, but they're trying to get some things in the current farm bill to loosen up on that, just like supposedly they were trying to promote and subsidize small butcher shops and up during the Corona hoax and all because meat became such a big thing.
Well, here, like, listen to this.
In the scheme of things, what we're talking about today, this seems so minor, it's just symptomatic.
Well, here, listen to this. And this is Free Farm Friday here on the Mike Church Show and the Crusade Channel. We're in season number 3 of Free Farm Friday. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for a guest, we absolutely want to hear from you and all about your guest. Contact me directly. I am KingDude at ProtonMail.com. I am KingDude at ProtonMail.com. And Free Farm Friday, the archives coming very soon to a iTunes podcast and a Crusade Max near you, crusademax.com. All right, Organic Valley, a farmer-owned cooperative and major player marketing milk from family farms, has over 1,800 farm members with an average herd size of 80 cows. These Texas 13 Texas CAFOs are each milking thousands, some 10,000 cows or more. One organic CAFO is regulated by the state of Colorado to manage 22,000 head. And the guy says, I wish I was making this up. When I polled organic dairy farmers, getting an impressive 30% response rate, they were moving their cattle in and out of pasture and milking them twice a day, averaging one cow per acre. How does the certification of those gigantic organic dairy CAFOs work? Well, in terms of USDA certification, it's all a secret. Everything that happens on farms is considered by the regulatory agency to be, quote, confidential business information, close quote. Well, not if you put a classified document from the Trump administration on their farm. It wouldn't be confidential then. And then he says, really? Farms and cows entirely made up of proprietary trade secrets? Authentic organic farmers are transparent and proud of their practices and commonly share knowledge with their peers. I think that's a profound point this guy's making here. What is there a trade secret in getting a cow to produce milk, Brian? You put it somewhere where it gets water and grass, and bam-o, milk comes out, doesn't it?
That's how I understand it. But
we're just simpletons, apparently.
Well, look, I'm just a biologist. That's the only thing I can do is tell you what a woman is. Mentor Money said he was illegal. In this area, we don't believe in illegal people. I mean, there's nobody is illegal.
Nobody is illegal, Money. Did you hear
That's right. So
well, I got no problem with it. Just I got to have something to back it up, which is why I have bullets. But don't tell anybody.
Right. You don't need bullets. You need more illegals that vote Democrat. They'll leave you alone.
You know, they actually might. I don't think they're my threat when it comes to this. But
okay. Sorry for the distraction.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about actual biology here.
Exactly. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about this because, you know, we have a milk co-op where we actually go milk the cow ourselves, so we can actually see the milk going straight into the bucket and stuff. But
wait. Whoa. Back up. Back that truck up, partner. Beep, beep. What do you mean you have a place where you can actually go and watch them milk?
No. Suzanne actually goes and milks the cow.
Oh, your wife goes and does the milking.
Yeah, it's our mutual friend, Deborah Medina.
Ah, that's too bad I'm so far away. But I have Hillcrest Creamery near me in Walls End and West, so I know where I'm going to get my milk from. I'm just not there to get it. And
that's good. And I think if we're really serious about this is our job is to seek it out and pay a little bit more and support those people because that's how we beat it. The problem is, nobody wants to take those steps. And even, we talk about this every week. I mean, look at the meltdown when people said, couldn't go to Chick-fil-A anymore because they're woke or whatever. You know, we got to figure out, it's like, look, we got to make a choice. Do we really want to live healthier? Do we really want to eat healthier or not?
Well, know, can you teach people how to make a chicken sandwich out of really organic farm-raised chicken?
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I wasn't being facetious. I was only laughing because we invented the chicken sandwich. I'm pretty sure that Cain or Abel invented the chicken, or one of Noah's sons invented the chicken sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's the thing. And you know, people, they'll make faces and get mad at when I say this, but it's like, look, and I'm not trying to show that I'm some kind of, you know, above everybody and anything like that, but we're doing that. And it's hard. It is hard.
You elitist. You farming snob.
Yeah. But that's what it takes. But you can taste the difference, though, too.
Okay, let's talk about taste the difference. Pause that thought. Pause the thought. Okay, so our cucumber bed, again, this is a completely regenerative cucumber bed. It's in its third season now of having been overgrown in the winter. But I think it took it a whole season for it, a whole year, for it to finally have its soil. We're working on soil quality, right? Naturally. I mowed down about 8 inches tall of solid clover grass. I didn't mow it down, just killed it with the cardboard. We're actually now harvesting long English cucumbers and the smaller pickling variety of these. As a matter of fact, Maggie, you can show them that one pickle cucumber that you hosted. That looks like it came straight out of a Vlasic pickle jar. It looks like Brian Koch grew that joker. We're now actually daily now picking our own cucumbers and eating them and enjoying them very much. And it does make a difference. They taste better. They're fresh. They're sweet. And we haven't gotten a bitter one yet. I'm sure that there's a bitter one out there. But yeah, there's something about, you know, going out in your backyard and picking your own food. We pick our own herbs. We're now getting tomatoes. We got our first couple of little new girl tomatoes yesterday. Can't wait to slice those up and try them on something. You're right, Brian. And look, we made the conscious decision to take about a quarter of our backyard, which we could have just planted the greatest rye grass or St. Augustine grass or whatever out there and treated it as a lawn and play croquet and frisbee out there. Or you could treat the land for what God gave it to you for, to live off of it and to, you know, to live with it and from it. And that's what we're doing. And we're being, and this is in our third year of regenerative farming, and we are now seeing some results. I still got to go to the market. True, I can't raise chickens and all that, but we are getting a handle on some of our vegetables. So we talk about this and we preach it, but the best way to do the two things that you can do, folks, if you're listening, and again, it sounds like a broken record, but there are new listeners this week, I guarantee you, because almost 150 people have come over from listening to the rundown just in the last 10 days. They've signed up. They didn't just come over. They signed up. They're Founders Past members. So let me just say to you guys that are new, find your local farmers. If they make meat, if they're making vegetables, it doesn't matter what it is. If they're growing it and they're actually signing their name to it, and maybe they're even bringing it to market, you need to support them by buying their stuff. And then start learning that this thing will be called regenerative farming. This is basically just the oldest way of farming in the book. There's nothing new under the sun, as they say. There's nothing difficult about it. You know, everything I'm growing in my backyard this year has come from, except for with one exception, has come from seeds. You know, I planted pickling cucumber seeds. I planted English cucumber seeds. I took the little resulting little plants out of the the seedling trays, and I planted them. And bammo! You know, I prepared the bed by growing the cover crop this winter, and you know, in our third season now here, we're actually tabling and getting food to our table for me and Maggie. I'd say our family, because Justin's is our third son. We feed Justin every day, or try to feed him something every day. So, although he doesn't like the vegetable part very much. But Brian, when we get around to slaughtering chickens around here, Tommy will be first in line. But the point is it took us 3 years to get here, Brian. 3 years.
That's
learning. I'm still learning. It'll probably take me 30 years, and I'll be the old farmer.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm still learning. I mean, that's the thing. That's the fact of being alive. You know, you're constantly learning. And yes, I'm way ahead of where I was when I started, well, let's see, 6 years ago. So I'm 3 years ahead of you, but still, there's still things that I need to improve, and there's still things that, you know, that I'm observing and seeing, and but it's making things easier. You know, and you learn that, and you learn from this. You write down every time it rains how much it rains. You write down what you yield and when you planted and all that stuff. Keep those notes and everything, and you keep that, and that keeps you sustainable. And you're not bringing extra resources in, and you're protecting water quality, you're protecting your quality of life, you're protecting, you know, all these other things without even thinking about it, because you're just doing it. And that, and that's where it's really built on itself. And, you know, that's, I don't know, it's just something that, to me, is a naturally good thing. And, I mean, you know, you hang out with my kids and everything, and they eat like horses.
Boy, do they. You need another acre to grow food for that brood.
Yeah, do they look like it, though?
No, they absolutely look like it. All right, we're gonna run out of time. Let me go back to Mitter Monday. Mitter Monday, no one has been farming here on Free Farm Friday longer than you. So you're the one that we should be turning to for wisdom on all these things. But as I was telling Brian, we have made, in 3 years, we've learned a ton and have already made some inroads and have had some success. Anyone near you? Or do you have any understudies there besides the pole?
Not directly. People do contact me once in a while. I mean, you know, you say it's not only a constant learning process, Mike. You know, whether a man is closing it or not, the environment has changed. I can tell you in the last 40 years that it's not the same as it was back in the 80s when I was doing things. Not only methods and available raw materials like seeds and stuff, it changes. So you've got to constantly be adapting to this and watching what you're doing and watching your animals, which is why I'm watching one of the pigs cough and I'm trying to understand, is it because of the air quality or do I have a problem? And, you know, I've railed against our people, you know, some of our crusaders, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get certified organic. And I keep telling them,
There's
no benefit. There's no benefit to it. But, you know, I was, you know, I think some people have come around, yeah, this isn't, you know, what it's supposed to be cracked up to. And even when we had gentlemen, you know, at the risk of irritating people, I'll say this anyway, Catholic Land Movement, and if you remember, I kind of said, well, you know, you got to talk a little bit about the economy. This is, no, we're just trying to get people enthused. There are those of us who have the genuine love for it, even when we're running around at night, in the dark at 8 o'clock at night chasing the pigs or whatever. You know, that's when you question why you're doing this. But we've already seen it with the corona hoax. You know, everybody's enthused. They're excited. They go out and get a few chickens, and they plant some tomatoes. And either they say, gee, this is difficult because my neighbor doesn't want to water my chickens, so I can't go to the shore. I might as well get rid of them. And the tomatoes, all the money I put into this is not worth it. You do have to create an economy awareness of this. Oh, I'm just going to grow this, and I'm going to trade it with this guy because he's going to fix my car for a couple of chickens. It sounds good, and it can be done. It's that's got to be part of the model as you build it. And people, if you don't put it in front of people's face right off the bat, and you don't want to discourage them, but you might as well discourage the ones that we're not going to do it. Let them be our consumers, because some people can do it, and some people have other skills to offer, and that has to be sorted out. But, you know, everybody should have a few chickens in the backyard. But think about it: if all your neighbors and all your whole parish has chickens in the backyard, you're not going to be selling many eggs, are you?
No, you're not.
This is the economy where you have to think about it. And what else can you do with them? Are there other, well, I'm great at baking. I'm going to take all my eggs and I'm going to make bacon. I mean, there are things to do. But that's why I say, when I talk about building an economy, it's part of what you got to kind of sketch out to people, what the long-term goal is, not just go get a chicken coop and plant a tomato in the backyard. So, anyway.
Okay.
Well,
we're going to wrap this episode up here because I want to play the Trump clip before we get out of here. You can get all previous episodes of Free Farm Friday at CrusadeMax.com. CrusadeMax.com. Remember to look for us on Apple iTunes podcasts and all that. Find that there. Brian and Mitter Monday, we'll see you next week with another round of great topics here on Free Farm Friday. Yes.
No, go ahead.
Yes. So, God bless you both. We'll talk to you next week.
God bless. And would everybody say, please say a prayer for my mother. We had to put her in the hospital last night for a blood clot because I think some people know she fell and broke her back a couple weeks. And now she's in the hospital at the mercy of the current medical establishment, which I'm already fighting with. So, a couple of prayers would be Most appreciated.
All right, Buckinator. Buckinator can get her on the infirmary list. So, all right, Dan, we'll pray for your mom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you both.